Hey everybody, it's Talking Jake here, and I want to tell you about a new podcast and video series you're not going to want to miss. The Deal. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, executives, Maria Sharapova, Strahan, Jeter, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into those worlds of sports, media, and entertainment. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, you can listen to The Deal on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 194, presented by Connect Roasters Coffee Company out of Bourbon A, Illinois, just south of Chicago. ConnectRoasters.com for all your coffee needs. If you want to up your coffee game, if you want good coffee every single day, Connect Roasters has the Home Run Club, where you can subscribe, monthly subscription. Coffee will be delivered to your door. And whenever the Cubs hit a homer at Wrigley, you'll get some dinger dollars back. If you want to sign up now, code Compound Club for 25% off your first Home Run Club shipment. Or you can just go online, try out a bag, code Compound 15 for 15% off anything on the website. We got a lot to get to today. Okay.
About time.
We got some guys signing. We got some news, some baseball news. And then I sent a little message out there on the Twitter, and we got some questions from the fans. So I want to start with Corbin Burnes gets traded from Milwaukee to the Orioles. There was some chatter. You know, they had some tough arbitration process last year, and there was some chatter that they might try to trade Burnes, especially Woodruff was out, and they might try to trade Burnes. But kind of felt like this point of the offseason, it wasn't going to happen. And then the O's, just middle of the night, swoop in. Tom's sad.
I was going to say, is sad. Yankees but, fans I mean, are shaking in their boots.
Did you see what Boone said?
Could be a problem. Yeah.
He was like, that could be a problem.
Well, it's just like that team has a bunch of young position player talent. They had a couple pitchers who really stepped up second half of the year and threw really, really well. Bullpen was really good last year, and now they get, you know, certified ace, like a number one for pretty much would be a number one any team in the big leagues. Cy Young candidate to be their ace. Not a big deal.
That's really what they were missing last year. Like going into the postseason, like they had good starting pitching, like you said, but it was more like a handful of 2 to 3 starters, like not like your number one, like we're giving this guy the ball every fifth day and we expect to win that game every single time. Like,
well, and they also,
I was going to say the new owner, like you don't know if they're going to come in right away and extend them. Like they're going to try to make a splash most likely. And I feel like that's happened before, right? In the past where a new owner will come in, but like, fuck it, let's spend right now. And
contract?
He's a free agent after next year.
I mean,
he's in his last year, Arb, I think it's something like 15.
I think closer to 15, 19.
Six.
Okay.
15-6.
Yeah. So 15-6 for your ace is like basically free compared to what the, like that guy in the free agent market is going to be making $30 million a year, $25-30 million a year, depending on the length of the deal. So,
I mean, he's a what, you know, top three starting pitcher, top five,
not to
at
Ian.
Least top five,
not to Ian.
Stop. he's probably top five. He's been consistent. He's taken the ball like every day the last couple of years. It's been super consistent kind of since 2021, 2020, end of 21, maybe middle of 21, and then 22, 23, 24. 22, 23 have been unbelievable. So shout out to those and the new ownership for going and doing this. The other guys in their rotation, they're really good and they had really good second halves, but they're also young. And like to be able to learn from him and to have him kind of be the ace and the guy that's going out and competing against the other number ones and let those other dudes in the 2-3-4 role, you know, start to get comfortable and really make strides. Like, I think it's a great move.
Wouldn't you think like you make that move, like, you have to extend them, right? Like that's not like a rental. I know it's not at the deadline, so it's not technically like looked at like a rental, but like I feel like you make that move, it's with every intention of extending them.
Yeah, I think they'll do one of two things. I think the free agent, you know, new ownership, so you have to figure out what they're going to be willing to spend. But free agent market next year for pitching is really, really good. So they probably get to know him in spring training. you know, maybe spring training is the time where they work this out. You know, they have 7 weeks before opening day to work this out. I'm sure they'll try. And if not, free agent market or next offseason is great for starting pitching. So maybe they go out and get somebody else, and they can always try to extend him at the All-Star break or at the end of the year. So I think they'll have a lot of opportunity to do it, but they'll get their eyes on him and get to see him in person, get to know him before they have to make a decision.
Can I read you his last 4 year stats real quick? Just a couple of the key stats.
Please.
In 2020, shortened season, obviously, 59 and two-thirds innings, 88 punchies, 102 whip, 211 ERA. In 21, 167 innings, 234 strikeouts, 0.94 whip, and a 2.43 ERA. 2022, 202 innings, 243 strikeouts, 0.97 whip, 2.94 ERA. Last year, 193 innings, 200 punchies, 107 whip, 3.3 ERA. If you're staying around a one whip as a starter, that's crazy.
That's nuts.
That's
bro.
So crazy.
And so, Ian or Dakota, tell Wait, me
for the,
tell me
for I'm, the go people.
Ahead. Go ahead.
For the people, whip is walks, hits, per inch pitched.
So basically, a base runner. Yeah.
So he allows one base runner an inning.
Yeah, one base runner an inning. And for a guy that only lets one base runner on an inning, he also has 200 punch outs a year. So when that guy gets on, it's not like they're stringing a bunch of hits together. Like he's guy hits a double, he's probably going to punch out the next dude.
And what's hard about whip, Zach, sorry. What's hard about whip, real quick, Zach, is that with whip, like you get zero. Like obviously you let no one on, like that's the best you can do. But like you could let six guys on an inning, and that's like a huge number that's going to skew it, like jump your whip up. So like it's hard to lower it, but really easy to raise it. So to keep it at a one or 0.94, like that's insane.
So Dakota, tell me if I'm wrong, but like usually if a guy throws, like if they have side spin on their heater, that means it's spinning pretty inefficiently, right? Like,
yeah.
And that's like a deficiency in their mechanics or like, you know, they're yanking, getting on the side of the ball, but he is done, like him. And, you know, you can think of a handful of guys, obviously Mariano, but like who have embraced, you know, the cutter, like cut fastball, you know, where this guy's throwing 95, 98 with the cutter basically as your primary heater. Like that's tough. Like usually guys are like, yeah, this, you know, this guy throws a nasty sinker or his four seam is so straight that it looks like it's rising. Like his is going the opposite way.
It's also you're right. Like it's one of those, like you don't want it. But if you can get like the cut ride on it, which he has, and you can like take advantage of it, it's disgusting. But usually, you don't want like, oh, you're just like minorly cutting it, but it's not really right. Like it's kind of like a dead fastball, but his is more of like taking off and cutting. And it's at, like you said, 95, 98, which is
crazy.
Like,
it's just funny. Like, you know, whenever guys go on the TrackMan or Rapsodo, they're like, yeah, you know, this guy has an inefficient heater. Like it's probably not your best bet. And this guy's just like, no, fuck it, I'll throw it.
Yeah.
I'll punch.
He's also got a 4.2 career K to walk ratio, which is also just very good.
His cutter has depth. His, like, when it's away, it doesn't have as much depth. It's kind of like a really short back door.
Away to you as a lefty,
away
correct?
To me. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure his arm side, it's shorter. And just like he'll start off the plate and run it back to the outside corner at 97. It's really good. But then when it's middle or when it's coming into me, so when it's middle or to his glove side, it actually does have depth.
Yeah.
So that's
probably, I mean, it's giving it more time to move, right? I mean, he's throwing
which is crazy. That's,
and I'm sure, like Zach said, like guys that can use that to their advantage, I'm sure he has like two ways of throwing it. He's like, all right, I'm going to throw the tight little one at 97 on the black, or I'm going to throw like a mini slider in on his hands and he's screwed. And like, as a hitter, Ian, you can attest, like hitting lefty, you see it start off the plate and it just breaks back that little bit. And all of a sudden it's a strike. You're like, what the hell is that? And then you're like, all right, I'm ready for it. And then he throws one that starts out or third. And next thing you know, it's in off the plate. You're like, you can't You can't do that.
Another person, Class A too, from the Guardians, a closer, obviously throwing. Like I remember I faced him in 21 and it's like the first pitch to me, you know, obviously you've heard about him forever. And like, first pitch to me, it's like 101 or like 98, whatever it is. And you can like starts up and in and you're like, oh my God, my face is gone. And it comes back like borderline a strike. And you look up and it says 99 cutter. And you're like, what the fuck, dude? Like, Ian, does his have, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's funny. He actually slowed one up for me and threw me a slider. And I remember I hit one and I yanked it down left field line. I'm like, what? Come on, bro.
Thank you.
Throw it. Just throw it. You know? Yeah. Ian, if you, I don't know if you remember or not, I'm sure you have, you faced him 100 times. Does Burns's cutter have like a dot on it or no?
Not
a little bit, like
a little bit when he backs it up by accident, but not like a dot. It's more like it's more forward looking.
So when I faced Ryu, I believe with the Blue Jays in 21, he was throwing these backdoor cutters. And I don't know if it was like that weird time of day where, you know, the sun was out, sun wasn't out. And I remember taking some like backdoor and I'm like, that is moving like that much. And it just looks like a white baseball. So like obviously the better that it looks more four seam, the better, obviously. But I feel like you can get away with it. Cause I remember facing Classe and he gets on the side of it, I think probably a little bit more, but again, it's at 98 to 103, you can kind of get away with a little bit of a dot. And I was just curious if his looks a little bit different than other guys.
Well, the other thing that Burns has done is he's developed a changeup in the last 2 years. So he had the cutter. He had kind of like this cutter curveball mix, and he would throw cutter curveball, and it was kind of like a two-pitch guy. And then out of nowhere, him and Woodruff both find these unbelievable changeups. And so now he's throwing 84 to 88 mile an hour changeup going the other way. So his cutter's going one way, his changeup's going the other way. It has great depth. And like that was.
They probably look the same too out of the hand, right?
And that was like in 22. Yeah. I'm like, yo, you can't just, you're already this good. You can't have another pitch. And then he starts throwing this changeup. It's like, God damn it, dude.
That's not fair. But
I just want to say, last thing on Burns before we move on. You know, he had a really good year when he came up in 18, comes up in 18 out of the bullpen for them. 30 games, 2-6, goes 7-0 out of the pen. Then in 19, he really struggled, and they sent him down. And I actually remember, I think we faced him in triple ball in San Antonio, and he was down with them.
Yeah.
I got my gears a little mixed up when I said how long he's been good. But then in 2020, he's like unbelievable, and he found this cutter, and he started throwing the cutter. Because he threw a little bit, when he came up, it was a little bit like a sinker mix, and it was sharp. Everything was still firm, but you know, he found this cutter in 20. And he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball since. And I think one of the stats that, you know, we always talk about is just with starting pitchers is just how healthy they are. And, you know, for him, 28 appearances in 21, 33 appearances in 22 and 32 in 23, 200 innings pitched in 22 and then 193 innings pitched in 23. Just longevity, and like that's what you want at the top of the staff. So good for the Orioles, good for him,
good for the Cubs. He's out of your division.
Plus he's out of the division. I've faced him so many times. God bless. Let's go to Justin Turner first. I want to talk Justin Turner. Goes to the Blue Jays. Great signing. Justin Turner, sneaky. Justin Turner was a little bit of a late bloomer. You know, he was up with the Mets and then goes to the Dodgers and becomes Justin Turner.
Wait, but hang on. Say that really quick. I think I saw a tweet today. I actually liked it. It was like 10 years ago to the day that. Yep. 10 years ago today, the Dodgers gave Justin Turner a chance. He rewarded them instantly by hitting 340. His very first season turned into one of the best late bloomers careers we have ever seen.
Justin Turner, before he got traded to the Dodgers, his last year, he was never a 100 OPS plus guy, so that's league average. He was never a league average hitter. His last year with the Mets, he gets 214 plate appearances. He hits 280 with a 319 on base and a 385 slug, good for a 704, which was league average in 2013. And then from then on, he's, you know, 150, 140, 150, 150. It's just like ridiculous. Justin Turner is sneaky, 39 years old.
Bro, he just does it, bro. He just plays, bangs every year.
That's what I was going to say.
Does it, bro.
I feel like he's a guy Zach would be in love with because, I mean, like, he hits, he's not
trying
like,
to follow that guy's footsteps. Are you kidding
me? That's what I mean. He's not like the big, like, sexy, like, hits 40, 50 homers. Like, he hits like 15 to 25 a year. But like he just gets hits, like he refuses to stop getting hits.
Made a swing change, just, you know, bet on it. I don't want to say bet on himself, but like anytime you make a swing change, you're kind of betting on yourself, you know? And if you've ever seen the two swings side by side, there's a significant difference of like what he used to do and what he does now. Mm-hmm. And that's just a testament to, you know, just never, you know, never giving in and just knowing that it's in there, it's in your back pocket, and you're just going to bet on yourself and figure it out.
And yeah, I mean, he's put together such a good career. Every time we play against him, like he'll hit a homer that is just like just pure spin, pull side homer. But yes, he also, bro, like, I've been so impressed by his ability to go backside, hit a ball through the four hole when he needs to. Like, just a super professional hitter, always puts on a great at bat. He's got a really good eye, and walks a ton, like super good plate discipline. Just a fun guy to watch. And
seems like a beauty. Feels like every team that he goes to loves him. Yeah, I was kind of surprised.
Like an absolute gamer.
I was kind of surprised that the Red Sox didn't try to get him back. You know, obviously they've kind of come out and said, without saying it, that they're not going to spend that much this offseason. I think he came out and said, the Red Sox, for me, if they offered me, was going to be a no-brainer. I wanted to come back, and they kind of let him walk.
He's 39, like in his age 38 season, he just hit .276 with 23 homers, 96 ribbies, 800 OPS, 114 OPS plus. Like,
you know, I mean, doing it. Guess what? Can still hit, you know?
Yeah, and just going to be an impactful player for that team. Good signing by them. And
kind of sick, like another veteran guy in that lineup, bro. Like, you know, Bichette and Guerrero are obviously coming up on those, you know, veteran years where they've been around for 4 or 5 years now. And you just add another guy to, you would like to see them kind of get over the hump. It just feels, you know, they get into the playoffs or sneak in, what, the last 2 years, and they haven't gotten out of the first round. Like last year, they lost to the Twins in 2 games. And then the year before, I think the Mariners, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to sit right in the middle of that lineup. He's going to drive in a bunch of runs and give them consistency. Probably going to play a little bit of first, but most likely just DH. And, you know, for them, they did a really good job with the Brandon Belt signing last year of having him, but he mostly only hit against righties. So now their DH will hit against everybody and just stick him in there every day, let him play 150 games and smash baseball. So great signing. And I think that I know that he's signed with AL teams the last couple of years, but I just think the DH being on all 30 teams, like, that a guy like this should always be in baseball. And like, now that DH is in all 30 teams, there's competition for him. You know, everybody is looking for a bat like that. So I think it's just a good thing for baseball.
For sure.
And he would look really good in a pair of Bruce Bolts.
Mm.
Bruce Bolts, batting gloves that I use. You got a baby blue pair. You got a white with baby blue pair. The gloves that Zach uses.
Yep.
You love your Bruce Bolts, Zach?
Love them. Most durable batting gloves I've ever used in my life.
You actually texted me a few days ago, and you're like, dude, these things are unbelievable.
I've used two pairs all off season. Two pairs. Everybody knows how much I try to hit in the off season. Two pairs.
Give reference for how many you usually go through.
I mean, if there's any dampness in mine, especially during the off season, I bang them, throw them out. I used to go through, like, you know, close to 10 pairs in the off season, just, and legitimately two pairs.
And they say, the people at Bruce Bolt say, you should have two pairs and then you can switch them on and off if they get a little bit of moisture, just so they can last longer. So,
and that's Bruce what Bolt I've been doing now. Like, I've abused one pair and kind of just switch on and off.
BruceBolt.us. Bruce Bolt's going to be sending us a little package, boys. We're getting a little package Bruce Bolt stuff. We're going to get to show it off.
Hell yeah.
On the pod. So, BruceBolt.us for all of your baseball needs as we get into the season. Bobby Witt Jr.
Woo. He's rich.
Paid.
Hey, that man. Paid.
Can I tell you what I like about this deal?
Yes.
I had a little thing the other day where I said these early extensions, guys not going through the ARB process. Another guy who's out of the ARB system. We don't love it. But you know what I do love about this deal? I love that he has a bunch of opt-outs. When we were texting about this earlier, the kind of first thing I said was like, damn it, he's not going to go through the ARB system. And then I saw the opt-outs and I said, you know what, good for him, because I think my math was something like it'll be a 7-year deal for 140. It'll be like 7 for 144. if he opts out the first time, it'll be like 144, 154, somewhere in there. If he opts out after the first one, he'll be like 30 years old, and then he'll be able to get another big one. So I like the opt-outs. I'm weighing on that. And he's got a bunch of security, and he's super paid.
He's
so good.
Bro, so, and I don't know if you've played against him much, probably just this last year once, right?
Just last year, yeah.
You've seen him play shortstop. He throws a little unconventionally, right? Like, it's from, like, a lower slot. It looks like he kind of pushes it a little bit. He made, I think I've talked about it before.
Yeah.
He made some, probably close to 4 or 5 plays against us in a series. And, like, each one, you're kind of, like, I don't want to say waiting, but, like, he's young, you know, like, see if he rushes it a little.
And he struggled his first year.
Exactly. So I was like, all right, let's see, you know. It just kind of happened, like, play after play after play, he was just making it. And then, like, the last one, I'm like, Jesus, like, this guy doesn't miss, bro. And I got to second. I told him, hey, bro, like, we're all talking about you in there. Like, keep going, man. This is fun to watch. You know, just, like, making athletic play after athletic play. Tough hop, you know, kind of just getting it done. And to put a lot of confidence in somebody that young and just putting him out there in shortstop every day and just doing it 30-30, like, you kind of had to wonder when they were going to present this with him.
He's literally the fastest person I've seen.
Oh my God, bro. Like, there was, I had to play a few plays. I was at third this year. I think he hit 3 balls to me, and you know, like, it was routine. I got it 4 seams like right away. And I was like, all right, great. Here we go. And I picked my head up and I was like, hey brother, you got to go. You know, like, there was one where it was like bang, bang. And I was like throwing the ball around and I'm like, trying to, like, comprehend. I'm like,
you knew you had him.
But, like, there's some where you're like, all right, that was calculated perfectly. I took an extra shuffle, like, got him by still like 5-10 feet. Like, this was like, hey, you know, you have to go. I went and I was still was like, that was a little uncomfortable. Like, I just didn't love how close that was. And I'm like throwing it back to the pitcher and I'm like, what the fuck, bro? Like, he flies.
We had a play this year where he hit a chopper to third base. I can't remember who was playing third, but he beat it out. And it was just like the most routine play. And he beat it out. And you're just going, I know this guy's fucking fast because that doesn't happen.
That should be an out every time.
The way that he hits it, like, he finishes and, like, he's ready going to first. So that's like a half a step right there. And God forbid he gets out on like 1 foot, he's safe. It's a hit. And then it's a double because he's still on first pitch.
I was just gonna say, and with the contract, like Zach made the point earlier, like, taking the money, like, obviously we never hope for injuries or anything like that, but, like, taking that security of, like, when you're a speedster like that, like, the risks of playing that hard and running that fast, like, he could blow out at any time. You miss time, all of a sudden you're in an RBR and you missed 80 games because you had a hamstring injury or whatever it may be. Like, now he has that security of, like, all right, like, we can still just keep going and doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he bangs. Like, he
bangs, bro. And again, like, I don't want to say it's unconventional, but, like, it's just like, and it's just like, all right, he's got 30 homers.
And just credit to the Blue Jays for, they were one of the teams who had never signed a $100 million deal with a player.
Royals.
I'm thinking about another team that is blue. And we just talked about Justin Turner. Rewind. The Royals, credit to the Royals. They were one of the teams that never had a $100 million deal. This guy's a special player, and they made the commitment. So
I think Salvi's was their biggest contract, and it was 82.
Yeah, and it was like 4 for 82 or something.
Yeah.
You do love to see that. I thought that same thing when I saw that deal. I was like, I can't think of the Royals in any, like, big contracts. Like, you like to see those smaller market teams pay. Like, just go get their guy. It's like, all right, this guy could be our star. Like, let's pay him and keep him around.
Who else did they get this offseason? They signed Seth Lugo to, I think, 3 years. I want to say there was a bat, too.
I don't know, but while you think about it.
Let me look it up.
If you're a Royals fan.
I'm trying to find it for you.
If you're a Royals fan and, like, Alex Gordon was there for a long time. You know, Lokane had to walk, Hosmer had to walk, Moustakas had to walk from those really good teams. All that whole bullpen walked. And then, you know, you had Salvi and Alex Gordon, who were the guys that stuck around. If you're a Royals fan, Now you get this guy who's going to be the face of your franchise after Salvi's gone for, you know, the foreseeable future. It's got to be really nice for the fans.
It was pitcher Renfro. Renfro and then Nick Anderson.
Nick Anderson, Kyle Wright, Michael Wacha too.
Yeah, like they made some moves.
Yeah,
sneaky had some really good years last few years.
They just signed Adam Frazier too, more of a defensive guy.
It's nice to see that though, like going on the paying him, like teams on the come up that have been rebuilding for a little while, like since they won a championship, since they won, like they kind of, you know, did a rebuild, and now it's like, all right, like we have some young guys that are ready to go. Let's go get them some help so we can compete.
Dude,
the Central's wide open.
Bro,
Central's always been wide open.
They had some young guys, bro, who, again, they didn't win many games for one reason or another, but there was just some guys in that lineup where you're like, I can see him being really good. Yeah. Mikel Garcia, I want to see what his numbers were this year. Let's see.
Zach's been struggling on the podcasting today where he starts something and kind of pauses for a while.
Well, I don't know his stats right off the fucking. I mean, so he's 23 years old. He hit 272 with a 1.1 war, 23 bags, only an 88 OPS plus, but played basically, he had 464 AB. So you only think, you know, he's projected to have a 725 OPS this year. I don't know. I think getting somebody like that, and he flies, same thing. Getting somebody like that at bats the whole year and kind of a lost season does a lot of good for them.
For sure. Getting that development, just that experience.
Last thing before we get into fan questions. I just saw this and I thought you guys would appreciate it. The Cubs just released their minor league coaching staff. The AAA team has 6 coaches. They have a manager, Marty Peavy, who we love. They have a bench coach. They have a hitting coach, an assistant hitting coach, a pitching coach, and an assistant pitching coach or pitching development coach. When we were coming up, you had 4 coaches. You had the manager, you had the hitting coach, you had the assistant hitting coach who was not even assistant hitting coach, but there was also like the 4th coach. Generally, that guy would like coach first base, or generally he would coach first base. And then you had a pitching coach. Now they have 6 coaches. Does that surprise you? And when I saw that, and they have 6 coaches at like every level. Like every level has 5 or 6 coaches and bench coaches. I was like, whoa.
That's going to be a crowded dugout is all I think of.
I hope they can get a first base coach, because in AAA, it was just always a pitcher who wasn't pitching, and it would just rotate.
The pitcher wasn't pitching, was coaching.
They'd stand
first.
Over there freezing cold in their sweatshirt, just standing there like this, be like, I don't know, I think one out.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd have a stopwatch and you'd be like, hey, you get the pitcher's time? He'd be like, what?
Hey, stand over there trying to click it on 1 second every time.
No, yeah. I did it one time when we played in Toledo. I was the first base coach because our coach was like, one of our coaches was gone for that week and I was locked in. But you need like the right person. Like people are locked in. Some people are like, I don't want to do this. I'm more of the, like, I'm screaming back. Like, I'm begging for him to pick over. I'm like,
I used to be the same way. It's fun being, it's a different game over there. Like,
well, especially for pitchers that all you do is pitch. Like, you get to be a part of like the other part of the game. I thought it was fun. Yeah,
I think
you should have coaches for it.
You know what's going to be tough? 6 coaches on the bus. That's a couple less seats for the boys.
You would hope
they can get another bus.
I mean, you would hope the coaches are doubling up, but they're probably not. So
in the lower levels, you definitely will only have one bus.
I'll tell you, as the broadcaster who's getting fucked there, it seems like the broadcaster's getting fucked. Their seats to go, that's usually the first place they're going from.
Oh, they're doubling up with a trainer for sure.
Oh, yeah. Which is brutal. Brutal.
Oh, it's terrible to double up on a bus trip.
The best was in AA, was the first time that we had 2 buses, and it was like, oh, you got your own row, this is great, you know, you can sprawl out a little bit, you're going from Tennessee to Pensacola, which is 12 hours, you know, you're getting there at 7 in the morning. And then I was talking to a guy who is at Sacred Heart. He's with the Dodgers now. It was his first year last year. And I asked him about the travel, because he was in I think Rancho something, whatever, the Dodgers.
Rancho Cucamonga.
Yeah, the Dodgers. And I was like, oh, how's travel out there? And he goes, oh, it's fine. I think the farthest is like 6 hours. And I'm like, oh, my God, dude. When we were there. And remember in Dakota, in short season in Eugene, we were going from Boise to Eugene, however far that is, on the world's oldest fucking bus you could ever imagine. And you had in rookie ball or low A, whatever, short season.
We didn't have enough seats.
That's what, so there wasn't the roster rule. There wasn't like 26 to whatever guys. You could carry like
38 guys on our roster.
No, so you had guys on sleeping underneath you on this dirty ass bus floor. And you're just like, hey man, I'm going to go to the bathroom right now. So I, God forbid, don't have to get up and step on somebody's face walking back there. Yeah. Hot as balls, taking your shirt off in the middle of the night, driving through Boise, Idaho. And it's now, I mean, for the better, but like the 5 or 6 game series, whatever it is with Monday off, it's great. You're not driving all over God's creation. They kind of have the pod set up. Dude, I can talk about that 2019 year. My first year in AAA was insane travel. And I was only there for half the year after I got hurt.
Yeah. I mean, the travel in the minors is nuts.
What's the craziest like show and go you guys have had because of a bus trip? Because I can think of a couple where we showed up to a game one time at like 6:20, and I think it was a 6:45 first pitch.
What?
We never did that.
We would always just get in from where we would always have a layover in St. Louis when we were flying with Iowa. We would always have a St. Louis layover, and you would get into Iowa 12 or 1 o'clock, and it was like, hey, clubhouse is closed until 5. You'd have 2 hours to nap, go eat, and then you go to the field.
My craziest one I can think. Oh, go ahead, Ian.
No, I was just thinking about going to bed after a night game at like midnight, having an alarm set for 3 a.m.
Yeah.
To get on a Southwest flight to connect through St. Louis to get into the next city at like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And then just like the absolute fog you're in when you get to the field to actually, and then you actually have to play a baseball game. Like,
yeah, dude. And the same hitting is hard enough. The starting pitcher would fly out the day before. So that guy's out there just well rested, probably had a massage the night before, sitting there. And like, I'm sleeping on Dakota's shoulder in the airport. Like, I mean, dude, what?
The craziest one I can think of is we played in Tacoma and. Yeah, I think it was 17, and we were there, and like we went through like, I think like some guys' bags didn't show up, so guys were like sharing stuff to like do pregame warm up and whatever, like BP play catch, and it's like an hour before the game, jerseys still aren't there. 45 minutes before the game, we still don't have our uniforms, and it was like 30 minutes before the game, and we like finally get our uniforms. Our starting pitcher's like already warming up in the outfield. We had to like bring him out his jersey. We're like, hey, they got here, we're good. Like, we were going to have to, like, delay the game. We're like, we don't have uniforms.
It was going
to
be shirts and skins.
You guys, guess what? They wouldn't have cared. Triple A or double A. They wouldn't have cared.
Oh, we still would have played that game.
Yeah. Hey, this is the promotion, shirtless night.
Yeah, exactly.
This story has everything you guys have been talking about. We had a 16-inning game in Walla Walla, Washington on July 3rd.
That's not a real place.
Walla Walla, Washington. Real place. The 16-inning game, July 3rd. The pitcher that's supposed to start the next day for the team was sitting next to me in the broadcast booth charting pitches. At some point, he turns to me and goes, "You think I should leave? You think I should go back to the hotel?" And I was like, "I don't know, man. I that's not my call. It feels like yes." So at some, he left in like the 14th inning or something. We just stopped charting pitches. Play a 16-inning game. We have a 10 a.m. 4th of July game because the city needs the park the next day. And all the streets are shut down the night before. It takes us an hour and a half to go 10 minutes to get back to the hotel because they can't get home. So you get back to the hotel at 3 a.m. and then it's the next morning, bus time 7:20. And we played at 10 a.m. and it was 98 degrees at first pitch in Walla Walla, Washington. And we played a 16-14, 4 hour and 12 minute game where we were trailing 16-9 entering the ninth inning. And we had started coming back, and you've never seen a team less excited about scoring runs. We were like, please just put us out of our misery. And we kept hitting doubles, and it was like, oh my God, is this game going to go to extras? And we lost 16-14. It was the greatest loss I've ever seen. Everyone on the bus was like, we get to go to bed. All right.
At least the boys still raked.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Walla 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 Washington team probably did you guys a favor and moved the game up an hour the night before so you can get that extra hour of sleep, right? That's what they do now. Oh, yeah, you have the 11 o'clock kids game. But don't, guys, it's okay. The game starts at 6:05 the night before, okay?
Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? I don't know if Ian is. Not a football guy. But everyone else in the world is going to watch the Super Bowl. You know you are. And DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered if you want to bet on it. New customers can bet on the big game and turn $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets. Guys, you've heard me say this time and time again. If you're going to start gambling, the Super Bowl is the right time to do it. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code COMPOUND. New customers can bet $5 and turn it into $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with the code COMPOUND. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. All right, let's get you guys right back in to some chop here on the compound.
Let's get into the fan questions. Tom, why don't you hit us? We did on Twitter, we sourced some fan questions. Tom's going to read the question. He's going to say who it's from, and we're going to knock out a couple fan questions.
This first one is from Leslie. She says, has Dakota determined any future plans since he indicated he was retiring after last season? What are you looking forward most to in spring training?
Hell yeah, he has.
Yeah. I actually just got a job with Driveline Baseball out in Seattle, Washington, or Kent, Washington, technically. So I will be moving out there end of next week and starting there as a pitching intern, coach, trainer type, a little bit of everything.
Can you say, can you kind of give some background on what Driveline does and then what the role is?
So Driveline is like, it's tough. The main thing people around baseball know them for is their like weighted balls they have. That help with like velocity and like just different pitching mechanics and stuff like that. So it's kind of like across the nation. Like I know that I'll be helping with athlete, like pro guys go there in the off season while I'm there. It'll be a lot of like high school and college guys in the summer that come in and train. Like people come from all over the country to come train there. They have a facility there and a facility in Scottsdale. So guys will like come in and train and like do different things. Like they have like mocap, which is like a really high tech way of like tracking mechanics and stuff like that. They also do what you call it, like over Zoom. What would you call that? Whatever. Like they do like training over Zoom.
What'd you remote say? Training?
What yeah, remote training. Remote, remote training? Was the word I was looking for. I couldn't
maybe
think of
I
the word.
Get a job
tough
there.
Word. I couldn't think of the word remote. That has nothing to do with my job. But yeah, so basically, I'll just be. It's like a 6-month internship that they usually hope to hire guys full time after that. So. For those 6 months, I'll basically kind of just be learning the ropes for the first couple of weeks. And then you kind of like jump right in and help out athletes and pretty much do whatever they tell me to do is my plan.
And Driveline got very popular because they were one of the first, they're a training facility, you know, and they do pitching and hitting, but they were one of the first on the pitching side to use Rapsodo, to use high-speed cameras, to do pitch shaping, spin efficiency. Like they were one of the first people to really kind of dive into that. And so they trained a bunch of big league guys. Teams would send their prospects or big league guys to Driveline to make adjustments, to change their arm stroke, to do a bunch of stuff to get better. And they had some big success stories. Giolito is one of them. But they had some big success stories with changing guys' mechanics, cleaning up their pitch mix, and spin efficiency. And so now they do hitting stuff. You know, there's been videos of guys going and doing kind of swing assessments, motion captures with them in Seattle, and then kind of revamping their swings.
And mocap motion capture for those people at home, it's like, I don't know if you, Zachary, have seen it, but like you're literally like in your underwear and they put like little, I don't even know what
it's like, a nodes. Video game.
They put nodes.
Yeah, they put little nodes like all over your body, and they're able to track like everything. Like you can track everything that happens in their pitching motion, and then you can like look at it and analyze the data. And I think that's what I'm most excited about, because that's what I even told them. I was like, I understand some of the data, like just from playing, like and seeing it, but I am excited to learn more about how to like apply certain, like if you see a deficiency, like, hey, what can we do to fix this kind of thing?
I saw a wonderful video of the beautiful Patrick Wisdom hitting in his underwear, looking ripped as ever, applying for the body issue. He looked he looked very wonderful in underwear. And he's actually a Washington guy, so not too far from him.
Is he really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
There was a second part of that question. They said, what are you guys looking forward to most about spring training? It was for you two.
I think for me, kind of just seeing the offseason transformations kind of come to fruition and trust the stuff that I've been doing, opposed to kind of just being a little bit in limbo. Feel pretty good where I'm at right now, and trusting it. And for me, you know, hopefully a new opportunity to open some eyes somewhere else and go from there. And again, you know, meet a bunch of new people. This is my first time with a new team in a few years. So it's always nice to experience like a new,
I feel like that's always exciting and nervousness, like nervous energy at the same time of like, I don't think you know anyone really with the Mets.
I don't know anybody.
Like you had Foles with the Tigers, like one of your best friends. So that helped. But like with the Mets, it's like, you're going to, it's like when you get drafted, like I know nobody, like got to go make some friends.
Dude, it's crazy. So when I got traded to the Tigers, Foles got to the alternate site like that day. So he was ready there. And then Lang, same thing, like just got there. And I knew somehow that he was just there. So it was like, I'm going to a new team, but I'm really not going to a new team. And I've played against those guys for 2 or 3 years before that, where the Mets, I've played against the Mets once in my career this year. And I got called up like during the series.
And we never lined up with the Mets coming up.
Ever. So like the Tigers didn't. The Tigers did in the lower levels, but in AAA, last year was the first time that we played Syracuse, and I got called up during that series. So I was like, I don't know any of these guys.
So, yeah, like I said, it's a little bit of excitement and nervousness at the same time, right?
Absolutely. That's been, like, my thing. I'm, like, super excited, but it also feels like the new first day of school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say for me, I'm really excited. John Maley is back. He was my first hitting coach in the big leagues. He's our assistant at the big league level this year, so I'm super excited to get a full spring to work with him. You know, he was around in spring last year because he was our AAA hitting coach, but you know, the fact that we're full-time together, I'm excited for that. He's one of my favorite people in the world and favorite people I've worked with in baseball. I'm excited for Council and to get to see kind of his, how he runs.
Ooh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. We'll have some new faces, some new guys to meet, you know, and so that's always fun. But I think one of the other things for me, I've been in the same place for a long time. The last couple years, it was like coming off an ARB deal and then going into the next thing. Or you know, last year, it was getting an ARB deal done and then trying to work on an extension, because trying to work on an extension all spring and like trying to figure that out, answering a lot of questions about extensions, answering a lot of questions about future. Going into a camp and like knowing that you got 3 more years of this, and you know, that's shit's guaranteed. Like that's pretty cool.
I was gonna say, and you're getting paid this year.
Yeah, just exciting to, you know, that level of comfort is something you don't get very often in this game. And that's an exciting way to go into camp.
Yeah, that probably takes a ton of stress away of, like you said, like there won't be a billion questions in your locker after a spring training game. Like, so like how are the extension talks going? Like, you're good. You're set. Like that probably just is a weight off your shoulders.
Ian, are you going to be an absolute showman and go to the cage at 8:45 before 9 o'clock meeting, or what? Are you going to get in there? Even though you have your extension and inked.
Yeah, you know that my routine is early in spring.
I was going to say, Ian, Ian would be in there because I remember.
But that was pre-guaranteed, brother.
No, but
that was pre-guaranteed.
But I remember like minor league spring would start at like, we'd have stuff at like 7, 8 o'clock, I feel like, and big league would be like 11 or like whatever, like 9. And Ian's there before like minor league guys, just because he's just an early riser. Like he's there at 6 a.m.
I think, again, this could be very premature, but like, I think I, no matter what, like I like getting there early just so like, you have way more time to, if you're space. Trying to get through something, bro, like, hey, Ian, you're my coach. Like, hey, let's get this out for, you know, half hour in the cage, like whatever, before kind of people really start rolling in and there's a line. Like when you get there a little bit late or like you have something to do, like there's so many tests you have to do when you get there for spring, like, and you get there, if open cage starts at 7 to 8:30, and you walk in there at 7:45, 8 o'clock, like you're hoping you get in there. Like
that's what, like, even just if you're like rolling out, like if you get there when everyone else is in there, like there's no mat. I can only speak about the Cubs facility, which is awesome, but like there's no space to do anything if you're there at the same time as everyone else. So like, yeah, I agree. Getting there early is nice. Cause I think that's why, I don't want to speak for Ian, but I think that's why he likes it, is he can get all his stuff out of the way before everyone else starts piling in.
I hate waiting.
Sucks, dude. Sucks.
And I get there early. I do my stuff in the weight room when nobody's in there. So I'm solo in the weight room. And then I'm grabbing the hitting coach and going like, when are you going? They're eating breakfast.
Yes.
Like, when are you going to the cage? Like, when are you going to the cage? I'm like, right now. Get off your ass. Let's go to the cage.
It gives you so much more freedom too. Like if you get, like for infielders, like you get your early work done before. At like you go to the cage, your early work, and then like you have an hour ish to do, like if you want to go lift after you hit and throw, or if you have to do X, Y, and Z before, you want to eat after you work out. Like it's like, okay, now I can take a step back before, or if you get there late, you're like, oh shit, I got this meeting at 9, like I'm screwed.
Tom, next question.
Next question, it comes from Fully Kroust. It says, do players ever reach out to their free agents to talk up their team? Also, when it's contract time, either free agent or extension, how much strategizing goes on between player and agent, and does it change much?
Go get him, mate. I'd like me and Zach to take this one.
Go get him, mate.
As soon as I heard it, I'm like, that is a Ian question. We have no idea.
I mean, yeah, you definitely reach out to free agents. I think occasionally free agents got, because once you're a free agent, you've been around for 6 or 7 years minimum. So, you know, you have relationships with guys on teams. Free agents will reach out to do a little background on the team, whether it's coaches, facilities, city, direction of the organization. Like guys will reach out and just say, hey, what do you got? You know, and that's a smart thing to do. If you're going through the process, like you're not going to go in blind, like you're going to call the people that you know and try to figure out if it's the right situation. So definitely had those conversations over the years. And I think guys on teams who know they're going to be there and going to be around, like, yeah, if there's a free agent that's out there and your team's interested, and you can reach out and be like, hey man, we'd love to have, like, cause if you're a free agent and you know that that team wants you and they want to be a, like the guys that are already there want you to be a part of it. Like, obviously that's cool. So, you know, being able to do that and reach out to guys and be like, hey, we'd love to have, I know this is your choice in your career and like do whatever you want, but like Chicago is an amazing place. City's awesome, like great place to raise a family. Like, come on, let's do some special things.
Do you think, like, you don't have, I'm not like asking if you have, but I feel like it's a little different. Like in the case of Cody Bellinger, like obviously, like he knows probably that you guys all want him back, and like he already knows about Chicago. So I feel like that's one where it's like you don't really need to reach out. It's like, hey man, like get your best deal. Like you know what Chicago's about. You know we'd love to have you. Everyone here loves you. Like do what's best for you, kind of thing.
Yeah, like Dansby and I played together for a long time, or against each other for a long time, you know, kind of minor leagues, got drafted the same year, played against each other. So, you know, Dansby was going through it last year. Like I talked to him before, like as the Cubs were trying to talk to him, and he was fielding offers from a bunch of teams, and we talked and sort of told him about Chicago and what I thought and everything. So you can have those conversations with guys that you know. And like, obviously Cody's a dude, like he knows what Chicago's like. He's been there. He's played a full season there. Like, knows that we would all love to have him back, but like ultimately that's his choice. And that like leads to the next question, which is, you know, how much prep is there between player and agent? Like there's a ton. I know for me, like there was a ton of prep of like going through the art process and then what that could mean for an extension and like planning out like, all right, how, what would this look like next offseason? What teams might be interested? What possible landing places are there? Like if you have a team like the Diamondbacks that has 3 22-year-old outfielders, like probably not going to be a place where you're going to land, you know, or like a team like, I'm trying to think of a team who's signed a bunch of dudes to play in the outfield, like Toronto, like they had a bunch of guys out there. It was like, you know, oh, well, maybe this guy's going to be a free agent or this guy's leaving. Like maybe that's a place where you could land. So you kind of plan that out. You know that there might be 5 or 6 teams that are buying that next offseason and things might work out. Like Texas, that kid comes up with Texas, Carter, like, well, Texas isn't going to be looking for an outfielder because that kid's pretty good. Like you have all of those things that you kind of go through. And I think there's more communication between player and agent, just depending on the relationship. Like some guys might be like, hey, you do this and like, let me know where the offers are. And then I'll decide. Or some guys might be like, I want to be involved every single step of the way. I'm sure it's very individual based on the player.
Do you think, like, obviously, like if you ever got to free agency, like if like the Yankees were interested, like you could ask Rizzo about it. Like you could ask Schwarber about Philly, Nationals, wherever, Boston. Like, do you think there's ever times where like guys are being approached by teams where like they just somehow don't know anyone that's played there and like the team like has a guy reach out? Like, do you think they do that? Like, say like they wanted sure. you to talk to someone that doesn't know anyone in Chicago. Like, does that happen?
And I think, yeah, I think that will like the GM might ask a guy, be like, hey, can you reach out to this dude and tell him about, or they'll have a former player like that. Like if I was the Cubs, I'd be like, can John Lester please call this guy and talk to him about Chicago? Like you get a call. Imagine like, imagine if it's, trying to think of some of the team, like imagine if the Yankees had Jeter reach out to a dude and be like, Jates, you call this guy, tell him about
guess what, I'm signing.
Like, yeah, like done, sign the contract. It's
for
like,
free.
I'm sure teams will do that. I'm sure that teams like when, you know, and even like in Bobby Witt case, like that guy's going through extension talks, like Salvador Perez or Alex Gordon or some of those dudes, like, yeah, for sure. You would, if you're the team, like you would want those guys to reach out and talk about it. So I'm sure there is a ton of that. Tom, next question.
Kind of on the same wavelength, answering a longstanding question. This is from Joe Disbro about players' thoughts on moving, such as Burns needing to change his spring plans 2 weeks before reporting with a family and a baby, or the free agents that haven't signed yet.
I think for him, he's financially set. It's fine. I'm sure it's difficult, but when you don't have a budget, it makes things a lot easier. I think it still sucks. That is every year. And this is not even for spring. This is for the season. This is everything. Like every year coming up, they would give us like this survey. Hey, what can we do better? What do you want? This, that. I would go on a limb and say 95% of us would put help with team housing or help with recommendations or like reach out to an apartment complex, like kind of how it is now where, especially in the minor leagues, they kind of block everything off. But, you know, the big leagues is a little bit different where, again, money really isn't an issue to some guys. But that is 1,000% the hardest thing about switching teams.
I was going to say, I can only speak like minor league level, but I remember in 17 or 18, whatever it was, I think it was 18, when I went from Double A to Triple A, and I knew zero people in AAA. So I wasn't like, hey, like, can I live with you? I literally got called up, spent 2 nights in a hotel, or I got my 3 free nights. They give you 3 free nights to figure out an apartment for the rest of the season and try to find a lease that'll give you a 3-month lease. And then I ended up getting like a 1-bedroom apartment for like $1,500 a month. And it sucked. And I was like, this is so brutal trying to figure this out in a matter of 3 days. It is a ton better now that they control housing. So it's like with the control of housing, you get called up or whatever, get traded. Like they already have rooms blocked off, like Zach said. And I feel like that's made it a lot better, at least on the minor league side of things.
I've never had to do this. Luckily, been very lucky on the same team. Never had traded, never had to move. Moving it's horrible. It's horrible. Just move. I moved in Chicago. It's horrible.
I think I would. I would pay like, I'd be okay with like paying a pretty expensive
amount to be like, hey, just make sure all my shit gets there. Do whatever you want with it. Just make sure it's in bags and I don't care.
Well, I mean, packing
and find it. Like, I'll trust you. I don't care. Put it, make sure it's a good area. Just put it somewhere. All good. All good. Trust
but
you.
I think the logistics of this, like, especially if you're signing a long-term deal, like finding the house, doing like where you're going to live in the city, you have to figure that out. You probably have to rent for a year and then figure. And it's like, I can't imagine getting traded that close to spring training. If you already had like a place locked down in Arizona that you were going to live, and now you got to go find a place in Florida. The guys that are, you know, haven't signed yet, are you going to be in Arizona? Are you going to be in Florida? Where is that going to be? Then you have to set up housing for where you're at in the city. Like, it's, there's just a ton of logistics going into it. And like, sometimes agents help with it. Sometimes there people from the team will help with it, but it's just, it is, it's a lot of phone calls. It's a lot of like things that you have to do and a long checklist, and like, not the most fun part of the job.
And especially, but like they said in that tweet, if you have like a kid in a family, at least luckily, like Zach was saying though, like big league guys, most, I feel like probably 99% of them like have a house somewhere. Like, yeah, say they live in Tennessee, but they play for Baltimore, like whatever. Like, they can just be like, all right, like their family's in Tennessee until they figure out what they're doing. So it's not like trying to figure out like, all right, like we need a 2-bedroom because we need one for the kid and we need this and that. Like, that makes it a little easier in the bigs. But yeah, it's, that's like Zach said, probably the most stressful part of like moving around, up and down levels, traded.
Bro, and when I, so, oh, go ahead.
Well, you understand that it's part of the job. You understand right. that like it's part of what we do, and it's just something that you deal with. And it's not like, well, we're very lucky for what we get to do. And that, if that's the worst part, like we're all right, but it can be a real head.
I mean, bro, I got, so when I got called up this year, it was supposed to be for a doubleheader. And again, Toledo and Detroit is 50 minutes away, so it's not the end of the world. But so like, I get called up, I pack an overnight thing, like whatever, end up staying. And you know, when they tell me, hey, you're going to stay up, they tell you right away, like, hey, we don't know how long this is going to be. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So I go back and forth a few times. So like, when you get called up, you have 7 days in a hotel for free. And then, you know, you're kind of on your own. So I asked if I could keep my stuff in my Toledo apartment for, you know, it ended up being until like June or July. And I was just like, hey, I have, and they understood, because I was in the team housing, and I was like, listen, I don't know, you don't know when how long I'm going to be up for. Like, can I just leave my stuff in there and I'll kind of live out of my car for the next however long? So like, you kind of have to wait and see, like, you know, am I going to stay up? What's the team looking like? What is my situation obviously like? And then like, again, it took me until June or July to pull the trigger on an apartment for the next 3 months. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm playing well enough right now. Like, I'm going to bet on myself and rent an apartment for 3 months. And then I go 0-30 and I'm like, oh, this is a good decision.
I wish, and this isn't possible in baseball, but I know in hockey, just from listening to like podcasts and stuff, like they have guys like that, that are like young guys and like they're with the team, and they'll like let them know, like whatever, 10 games in, like, hey, like you're like, they'll tell them literally, yeah, like, you're good to get an apartment. Like you're staying up with us. But like in baseball, it's, they could say like you're good, and like you said, you go 0-30 and some guy in AAA is raking, and they're like, what do we do? Like, leave this guy here who's struggling just because
it's hard? Yeah,
like,
dude, it's
get a place. Like,
it's honestly it's probably better that they don't tell you that, because like, if they pull it back, they'd be like, hey, you just told me I can get an apartment. Like, what?
Yeah,
the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. And like, it depends on position. Like, relief pitchers get screwed. Relief pitchers get, they up and down so much.
Starting pitchers. Yeah.
Hey, you threw 4 innings tonight, brother. You're not going to be able to throw for a week. Like, you have to go down.
Yeah. And it's just like, yeah. Imagine but that. Like, imagine, like, hey, man, get a place. And then like a month later, they're like, hey, bro, you're going, you're going to have to go back to the bushes. It's like, what?
Hey, you're throwing great. We love you, but you need to go back down.
But like you said, Ian, by no means are we trying to say like, woe is me about all this, because you get paid handsomely to do it. So it's not like a, oh my gosh, like poor us, but it's like a, it is stressful, but yes, you do make a lot of money to do what you do and that, to deal with that.
That year that I got sent down in 19, I was renting. So like, if you're up in the big leagues,
you were,
and
you renting a hotel room.
Well, if you're up in the big leagues and you have an apartment, if you get sent down, the big league team takes the keys to that apartment, and you're not on the hook for the rest of the lease. So they can put somebody else in it. But what I had done is I had a 12-month lease that I had just renewed in like January or something. And so I had a 12-month lease in Chicago, not thinking I would be sent down. And then I get sent down right before the season starts. And I'm like, well, will you guys pay for this apartment? And they're like, nope, you signed the lease before the season. Like, that's on you, man. And so I had this apartment in Chicago that I was paying for. And I'm also renting hotel rooms in Iowa for 10 days at a time and like putting my suitcase, moving out of the hotel and putting my suitcase back in my car.
Hey, don't forget. Don't forget. We offered you a place.
No.
We offered you a place.
And these guys made it, would not let me live with them. And Eric Castillo was their third roommate. And I was not.
This is the battle. This battle and the battle of Zach not saying goodbye to us when we left the compound are two that you guys will die on those hills that they didn't happen. But this is exactly what happened.
Okay, well, Dakota, at least we know that Ian is perfectly fine lying, so people out there can side with me because I'm not lying in either case.
I'm the right side of both cases.
No, you're not.
I am.
You're one for two.
Going on a little stroll around the office or what?
Laptop is about to die. I didn't charge it quite enough before the show, and I was like, I think I'll get through it, and then now we're at like 13%. So...
Can't have that. Can't lose this recording, Tom. That'll be the end of the world. Can't make this content again. It's too good. It's one of them. Let's,
I think
why don't we give the people the screen times? We had a couple more questions that we didn't get to. We'll get to them next week. They were good questions. Let's give people the screen time. And I think my screen time is going to be a little high today. I'm just going to preface it.
Shut up.
I think it's going to be a little
high.
Because
it's going to be like 3 hours and 22 minutes. And it's going to be like, yeah, it's a bad day for me.
No.
Can I tell a quick story?
Oh, please.
It's kind of just a dumb story. But
brought to you by Sloan?
Yeah. I just thought of it because I don't know why. But today, like, because I'm moving, I was like, all right. Like, I went and put air in my tires for my truck, like trying to get it ready. And I needed a new windshield wiper because mine was just kind of messed up. And I have a big Ford F-150 and I went and bought a new windshield wiper, and I've bought new windshield wipers for this truck before. I went and bought one. I get home and I go to put it on, and it's, for those that don't know, there are different sizes of windshield wipers. So it's a windshield wiper for like a car. So I put it on and it's going to wipe like not even a quarter of the windshield. I'm like, this looks hilarious.
Why don't you go get a new one?
I'm going to, but I just didn't want to leave right away after. I'm going to get a new one, another one tomorrow and return that one. But like when I put it on, I was like, this looks like comically funny.
Can you send a photo on can you put a photo on social media so we can all see it?
I'll see if I can get like a good pic. I need it to like really demonstrate how small it looks, but I'll see if I can get a good one tomorrow.
Why don't you get a video from inside the car of the windshield wipers going and only touching a part of the...
I'll do that. I hope it's... I'll like turn the... where you put the wiper fluid on there. Yeah. And then I'll turn it on and see how it does.
Sloan is the world's leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems. Sloan is at the forefront of the green building movement. That was all from memory. And provides smart, sustainable, and hygienic restroom solutions by manufacturing water-efficient products, including flushometers, faucets, sink systems, soap dispensers, and fixtures for commercial, industrial, and institutional markets worldwide. To learn more, visit Sloan.com. I think Sloan should get like merch and they should just have like a fleshometer shirt.
That'd be awesome.
Ooh, I like that.
Also, Ian, I almost guessed exactly what I said. 3:22. I almost guessed your time when you said, oh, it's going to be high. Like I was like, yeah, it's going to be sub four still. Go ahead and say your time, Ian.
3:52 for me. 3:52. Julie and I were at the old Social Security office working on the name change. Let me tell you, if you get married, a little name change, not the easiest.
Really? I never even thought of that. I kind of figured it
says
like
2 hours and 2 minutes of social, so
I kind of assumed it was like
I'm sitting in the thing. I mean, I don't know what's all included in social. I mean, first of all, I put this nice Twitter poll out. I sourced all the answers. You're welcome. I'm working hard while you guys are playing, but also
why
I'm in the thing, you know, it's like basically like the DMV and you're just sitting there like, what else are you going to do? Pretty bored out of my mind.
I don't know why I kind of just assumed that, like, I guess I didn't even think, I thought it was just like automatic. Like, yeah, like it's Julie Happ now. Like it's not like she doesn't have to change it.
Oh no.
I was like, like it'll do it for her. Like the government's got us.
The legal process of name change is a pain in the ass.
So did you tell her to keep her name?
Like, yeah, don't worry about it. Just keep it. Just save us all the headache. Just keep it.
I think she wants that Hap last name. It's got six. There's 61 million reasons why. Just kidding. She loves you for you. 5 hours, 6 minutes. You're back on track. Good thing she doesn't listen.
5 hours, 6 minutes, Tom.
4 hours, 48 minutes.
Tom, we've been tight. Like the past couple weeks, me and Tom have been like neck and neck. I like it.
I know, but you're getting a full, now you're getting a job again. Now I'm fucked.
Well, and I'm going to be 3 hours behind you. Oh. So my times are going to be insanely low.
So I'll keep the winner for last, 347.
It's a good day. I'm proud of you for that.
Thanks. Zach, do you want to read your Sunday screen time? Dakota, would you like to read your Sunday screen time?
No, thank you.
I'm pretty sure, why would we live in the past?
I appreciate you for asking, but no, thank you.
Those bars are both sneaking up on 10 hours. Oh,
9:14. That's really not that bad. I thought it was over 10. If it's sub 10 on a weekend, not that my weekdays right now consist of absolutely anything other than trying to find an apartment. But if it's sub 10 on the weekend, I'm like, it's a good day.
Mine yesterday was 6:19.
Oh, that's a great sun. Well, there was also no football, so that
I was up at 6 o'clock yesterday too. Grinding. Give me a break.
No days off.
6:45 yesterday. We'll all do if yesterday.
Ooh. Oh, let me. Ian's was probably lower. Let me guess.
5:36.
Oh, gross.
It is gross.
Over five. Come on, man. Touch some grass.
This episode was brought to you by Connect Roasters. Go to connectroasters.com for the best coffee in the world. Compound code compound club for 25% off your first subscription order. Compound 15 for 15% off site wide. Connectroasters.com. I'm getting my coffee shipped to Arizona so that I can have it when I get there.
Are you going to have some in the cafeteria for everybody like you did?
Oh, yes. I was just making calls today. Nice. I called our chef and I said, hey, chef, I heard the coffee's not there. What's going on? Okay, we need Connect Roasters. How are we going to fuel the players?
And it is noticeably different how much better that is versus like the standard cup of coffee they make.
The clubhouse coffee puts some hair on your chest, dude. It puts some hair on your chest.
It'll make you a man, but like you'll enjoy the Connect Roasters. The petroleum
will get you ready for those meetings in spring.
That's episode 194 of the Compound Podcast presented by Connect Roasters. We will see you next week.
Hey, everybody, it's Talking Jake here, and I want to tell you about a new podcast and video series you're not going to want to miss. The Deal. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, executives, Maria Sharapova, Strahan, Jeter, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into those worlds of sports, media, and entertainment. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, you can listen to The Deal on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.